Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average up 25 at 18,559. It is a record high close for the Dow Industrial Average. Whenever the Dow Jones Industrial Average hits a record high close, we have a celebration at the Money Radio Megaplex. Money Radio staff gathers in the control room. Somebody asked me the other day about this. Staff is gathering in there. Let me explain a little bit. This started back in the 90s when the markets were hitting record highs, and people said, well, you should have a celebration. And one day somebody brought in some cookies, some milk and cookies, and we had a little celebration. And then another record high, another celebration with milk and cookies. Now, I know on Wall Street, when they hit a record high, they have a celebration with champagne and, well, perhaps some not-so-savory things. We celebrate in a wholesome manner with milk and cookies. And over time, a tradition has grown up around this. Money Radio staff, they gather in the control room. I can see them. There's a glass wall, a glass partition between the talk studio and the control room. Today we have Renee, Doreen, of course, passing out the candles. And who else is in there? James, wearing Green Bay Packer jersey. I don't know why. Wesley joining again. Wesley's really gotten into the atmosphere of this thing. He's got an esprit de corps about this, and I appreciate that, Wes. Marcus, Chris, Jeffrey, who still thinks this is a little bit crazy, but whatever. Ron joining us again. Yeah. All right. Staff is gathered. Candles are lit. What do you have today, Doreen? Lavender. Lavender candles. Those are always nice. Calming. All right, everybody's got their candles lit, and let the procession begin. Renee leads the procession today. There they go, out of the control room. Not exactly a march step, but good enough. Down the hallway they go to the Money Radio Bistro. That's where the milk and cookies are located, in the break room. Milk and cookies. Today the cookies come to us courtesy of Miracle Mile. They decided to provide the refreshments. Milk and cookies from Miracle Mile. It's a good day indeed, Dow Industrials. It's another record high at 18,559. Although it is starting to look like this rally is running out of steam after a three-week 8% run for the S&P 500 index today. Bit of a pullback in the broader market. The S&P 500 down 3 at 2163. NASDAQ down 19 at 5036. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 3 basis points at 1.55%. Oil down 67 cents at $44.57 per barrel. Gold up $3.20 at $13.3270 an ounce. Housing starts jumped in June, but from downwardly revised levels earlier in the year, pointing to a market for newly constructed homes that continues to grind forward slowly and steadily. Starts are up 4.8% to a seasonally adjusted annual pace of 1.19 million. Permits, which foreshadow starts in the future, rose 1.5% to an annualized 1.15 million. The value of owning a home in the U.S. has never been greater. The share of Americans' total personal income coming from rental profit rose to a record 4.4% in the first quarter of 2016. That's an all-time high in figures dating back to 1947. It's up from just 0.7% 30 years ago. According to the Commerce Department, rental income includes landlords' profits. It also includes how much owner-occupants would make if they rented out their house or apartment after accounting for expenses including mortgage, interest, and property taxes or insurance. Two economic trends are at play here. First, historically low mortgage rates have cut down the expenses that would eat into landlords' profit. At the same time, tight supply has pushed rental prices up more than double the rate of other goods and services. The cost for renting a home grew by 3.5% in the year through June. The share of Americans renting their home is now nearing 50-year highs, creating a shortfall in available rentals. Investors have been able to capitalize on this shortfall by taking higher rents, and as rental prices rise, it makes it harder for renters to save for a down payment. Year-to-date in June, rent inflation amounted to 3.8%. That's below the post-recession June average of 4% and down from 4.5% over the same period in 2014, 4.7% in 2015. In Phoenix, for the past 12 months ending in June, rent inflation ran at a 7.1% pace. When incomes stagnate, as housing costs soar, and as people can't pay those soaring rents, something has to give. Last week, the Commerce Department released the monthly wholesale trade numbers for May. Now, the report doesn't usually get much attention, but on closer inspection, there was some interesting news. Merchant wholesales were $435 billion for the month. Breaking it out by sector, groceries, $51.5 billion. Electrical, $45 billion. Petroleum, $43.4 billion. Automotive, $36 billion. The biggest sector, though, at 12.2% was drugs, $54.3 billion, more than we spend on food or gas or electricity. Are Americans really consuming that much more in pharmaceutical products? Well, hardly. According to the Producer Price Index, prices charged by manufacturers of pharmaceutical products jumped 9.8% in May from a year ago. Now, Americans use plenty of drugs, but not that much. The amount of drugs purchased is relatively constant. We just pay more. The drug companies can get away with jacking up the prices because they can. The UK's vote to leave the European Union has pushed the International Monetary Fund to cut its world growth forecast for this year and next. In its World Economic Outlook published today, the IMF forecast global growth at 3.1% in 2016. That's 1/10 of a percentage point down from its April forecast and 6/10 of a percentage point down from its forecast from July 2015. The IMF also cut its forecast for 2017 growth to 3.4%, having predicted 3.5% just back in April. The U.S. is seen growing by 2.2% this year. That's down from a 2.4% forecast in April. This, though, was due to disappointing first quarter growth rather than the Brexit vote. Turkey being reviewed for a downgrade at Moody's. The credit rating agency has placed Turkey's Baa3 rating on review for downgrade after Friday's attempted coup. Moody's says that even though the coup failed, its occurrence was a reflection of broader political challenges as associated credit risk remains elevated. Meanwhile, Turkish stocks extended losses down 10.6% in 2 days as Erdogan extended a purge to police, military, judiciary, and now educators, more than 20,000 in all. Crude oil and refined products once again being stored on tankers floating at sea, a sign that the two-year oil glut is far from over. The IEA estimates that about 95 million barrels of oil are sitting in floating storage. It's the highest level since 2009. It's a logistics problem. The onshore storage facilities are full, so there's no place to unload. Add in the U.S. dollar is at a four-month high, and we see crude oil back below $45 a barrel. Wells Fargo has struck a $400 million deal to buy a new European headquarters in the heart of London's financial district in a much-needed boost for the city post-Brexit. The world's biggest bank by capitalization will move into the 11-story building in the autumn of 2017. Netflix was crushed after its disappointing quarter. The video streaming service reported 9 cents a share. Revenue climbed by 31% year-over-year to $2.1 billion. But subscriber growth was weak, 160,000 new U.S. subscribers, well shy of guidance of 500,000. Netflix also gained just 1.5 million international subscribers, missing its 2 million subscriber guidance. IBM beat on top and bottom lines. Big Blue earns $2.95 per share, outpacing the $2.89 Wall Street analysts were expecting. Revenue fell 3% year over year. Revenue has now fallen in 17 straight quarters. Cloud revenue remained a bright spot, however, up 30% at $3.4 billion. Goldman Sachs quarterly profits soared 78%, handily beating expectations. The Wall Street Bank earned more from bond trading and debt underwriting, also because last year's results included a $1.45 billion fine. Revenue dropped 13%, and so Goldman is trying to cut costs by $700 million, another way of saying layoffs. Johnson & Johnson raised its 2016 sales and earnings forecast and reported quarterly results that beat Wall Street estimates, helped by strength in its prescription drugs business. Lockheed Martin, the Pentagon's number one weapons supplier, reported better-than-expected quarterly revenue and lifted its 2016 revenue and profit forecast for the second time, thanks in part to increased deliveries of its F-35 fighter jets. Lockheed, often seen as a bellwether for the U.S. defense sector, Northrop Grumman and Raytheon, due to report quarterly results next week. After the closing bell, Microsoft reported higher quarterly adjusted revenue, $22.6 billion. That's up from $22.18 billion a year earlier. Company posted net income of $3.12 billion, or 39 cents per share, compared with a loss of $3.2 billion, or 40 cents per share a year earlier. Azure, Microsoft's major cloud offering, saw revenue grow 102% in the quarter. Microsoft's earnings report marks its first since the announcement of its agreement to buy LinkedIn, which did not impact this report, but it will show up on the next quarterly report. Microsoft was up about 4% in after-hours trade. Monsanto rejected a sweetened $125 per share offer from Bayer, but said it was open to continued talks with the German chemicals group, as well as other parties. The German company disclosed last Thursday that it had increased its bid by $3 per share, making the $125 per share offer the largest all-cash bid on record. It also offered a $1.5 billion reverse antitrust breakup fee, just in case anything goes wrong. Dow Industrial's up 25 today at a record 18,559. We had a celebration here at the Money Radio Megaplex. Feel free to celebrate however you feel appropriate. S&P 500 down 3, NASDAQ down 19. As always, we invite you to follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, the daily blog, free podcast there as well, eatthebankers.com.